Morning, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech. The doors are wide open. Just come on in. And while you're at it, just leave a little tip on the table. You can do that by going to republicbroadcasting.org and following the instructions. There's a donate button. You can click it and follow the instructions. Send badly needed fundage. Also, download the CoSertified app. You can download it from nationalbugle.com. It will be interesting. It will be an education on the entire kosher certification racket. It is a racket. It's one of so many rackets, and we need to start understanding how these things work so that we can go about freeing ourselves from them. All right. Today I have with me Paul Edward Stevenson, who is the last man standing on Sunday night. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Thank you for joining me. So there's just like a whole bunch of stuff continues to go on. We've got the war in the Ukraine continuing to go on. I guess it'll go on for a while. Do you remember how long the Iraq war went on before President Bush declared mission accomplished?
I don't, but it was quite a long time, wasn't it? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have the feeling he said mission accomplished in May, like early May, and the invasion was sometime maybe in February. It went on a few months, and of course it didn't end then. It's, you know, it didn't end, and the United States wound up just eventually leaving, not exactly with its tail between its legs, but leaving a mess that was not resolved.
Yeah, and of course, I covered an article by a journalist over here, Andrew Neil, who was talking absolute nonsense about, you know, how it was an unprovoked attack. He opened up the article about how it was an unprovoked attack and how Russia was, you know, failing miserably, that he thought when he wrote an initial article that Russia would have got the job done after about 3 or 4 days or something, and how glad he was to be wrong. But of course, his standards are based on what the U.S. and the NATO allies, how they conduct themselves in the war, which is basically carpet bomb the place. So they obviously get it done a bit quicker. Whereas that has not been the approach of the Russian Federation over there. They've been very measured about it and have done what, to my understanding, they've done their best to minimize human casualties and death and damaged infrastructure. So it's taken them a bit longer. But, you know, the West, they've had this, you know, the United States and our media have been in unison pushing this Bucha atrocity, which has got holes all over it. It's like the chemical attack in Syria all over again. And I am starting to get a bit concerned that Russia's, you know, because we've spoken about it before, that the intention of the U.S. and the West, particularly the United States, is to get, you know, weaken Russia by getting them bogged down there and draining their resources and maybe the morale there. And, you know, I don't think Putin wants to get bogged down there. He wants to get in there and get the job done and get out of there. And the longer it goes on, I think, you know, the worse it's going to be for him. Because you know, this atrocity, this, you know, because it's a whole genre, this sort of atrocity propaganda, it really riles people up, and you know, it stirs up their emotions, and it garners support for the war and for the Ukrainians, and it's very potentially damaging, you know, for Russia in terms of the you know, the moral attitude, the moral victory there. Not that the Russians care, because they know that the Western media is full of lies and deceit and propaganda. But in fact, that would add weight to that. That's probably the biggest thing that would add weight to the argument that Russia didn't perpetrate that attack. Because why would they? They know that the Western media would be all over it. They know that this would only, you know, escalate the hatred and hostility toward Russia. So, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense in any way that Russia would you know, carry out that sort of atrocity. And it's just, you know, so but I do worry that, you know, they're keeping this going, and I, you know, and they're getting, Russia might get bogged down there, or that this could still escalate to a wider conflict, you know. What do you think? Do you think it will?
Well, I mean, that's the worry, is that it will. You know, the thing is, you mentioned that the Russian Federation is not operating the way that the United States did in Iraq. And of course, in Iraq, there was the you know, the military doctrine of shock and awe. And it was, you know, well, you could say carpet bombing. They were bombing, like, all sorts of things. They were bombing government buildings, command and control centers, they would say. And the United States is, Russia is not bombing government buildings. It's not bombing, it's not trying to kill Zelensky. It's not even actually, from what I can tell, not trying to even overthrow Zelensky. It's like, the goal of the Russian Federation, Russian Federation is more limited than the goal of the United States in Iraq, and B, the military measures that they're, you know, the military tactics are certainly more reserved and certainly safer for the civilian population, not necessarily safer for the Russian soldiers. I think the Russian soldiers are at greater risk because they're not doing the shock and awe type of thing, because they're not waging the war from 30,000 feet or whatever the, I don't know these things. It seems as if they're actually trying to preserve Zelensky. You don't hear, like, I mean, you hear all of this atrocity, like all these insults against Vladimir Putin. The Russians are actually pretty measured in their criticisms of other leaders and other governments, and even of the Ukraine. So, and it's been pointed out, I can't remember by whom. I would give credit where credit's due, but that it seems as if Vladimir Putin actually wants to preserve Zelensky as a viable person so that they can sign a surrender or a peace deal with him. I mean, when I say surrender, I'm not trying to paper over everything. You know, I think the Russians want the Ukrainians to surrender and accept their terms, but the Russian terms are still pretty reasonable. I'm not exactly sure where the independence of Donetsk and Lugansk is going to go, whether that leads then to annexation or what, because that's a relatively new position of the Russian Federation since the hostilities began. It had been to, you know, do you look at RT?
Yeah, I watch it every day. Yeah, because you can get it on Rumble. So yeah, I do keep up with the RT, and I watch in some of the Indian media as well.
Indian media has been,
and that, yeah, and then of course you've got guys like Scott Ritter, who has a history of, you know, being in wars and CIA experience, and also he's an expert in Russia.
Chris Ritter.
Oh, okay, cool. And then Douglas McGregor, who I mentioned as well, has got a very different take on all of this. And he's a very experienced guy, so they have a very different view of all this.
And I'm not watching it so much. Actually, I'm hardly watching it at all, this, because I don't really know how, but I've been reading the articles. And the thing about, the RT articles, the written articles, are fairly objective. There's not a lot of opinion injected into them. What you do have is at the end of every article, the last couple of paragraphs have these boilerplate statements. And so this is the way the boilerplate statements are right now. These are the last two paragraphs from a typical RT article. Moscow attacked the neighboring state in late February following Ukraine's failure to implement the terms of the Minsk agreements signed in 2014 and Russia's eventual recognition of the Donbass republics of Donetsk and Lugansk. The German and French brokered brokered Minsk Protocol was designed to regularize the status of the regions within the Ukrainian state. Kiev says that the Russian offensive was completely unprovoked and has denied claims it was planning to retake the two republics by force. Now, one thing, you look at that, and like every single statement in there is fact. These are all facts. You might say, well, they're not including this relevant fact, or they're not including another relevant fact. You know, yeah, you can say that. But there's nothing non-factual about that. And, you know, Moscow attacked the neighboring state. They're not denying that. Ukraine did fail to implement the terms of the Minsk agreements. You know, I think that's pretty clear. Russia eventually, after 8 years, recognized the independence of these breakaway regions. The French and the Germans did broker the Minsk Protocol, and part of it was to reincorporate these two regions into Ukraine, to reincorporate them for 8 years. So, I mean, you know, and then they say what Kiev says, you know, the Ukrainian capital. They say the offensive was completely unprovoked and denied claims. It was, well, these are facts. This is what they're denying. I mean, if somebody is saying something, that's a fact. Whether what they're saying is true or not is something separate. But the claim by Kiev that it was not planning to retake the two republics by force is the claim they're making. Whether it's true or not is separate. And they're claiming that the Russian offensive was unprovoked, which is what they're claiming, which, I mean, is demonstrably false, but it's what they're claiming. I don't know if the you could make any kind of comparison to, say, the BBC or CNN or anything else in terms of at least that level of objectivity. I mean, at least even if you want to say there's selective, you know, there's some selectiveness here in what they're choosing to report. None of these statements are lies. You still there?
Yeah. The reality is, Patrick, that, you know, I've watched RT for probably 15 years. Now, I don't agree with everything that RT espoused. I mean, they economically, they've got quite a sort of a socialist outlook. They do have a, they're a bit, well, to put it mildly, they take a lot of credit for, you know, they're very proud of the fact that they defeated National Socialism and that they not only saved Russia from the scourge of Adolf Hitler's Germany, but that they saved Europe, which is nonsense. But they do put out a lot of anti-fascist type or National Socialist Germany propaganda. It's kind of outweighed that way. But you'd probably expect that to an extent, and some of that is because of, I believe, Putin's sort of complex relationship with Jews, probably trying to cozy up to them a little bit. I think that's a fool's errand on his part. But, you know, if you listen to what they talk about, as I say, even though I wouldn't necessarily agree with everything they would talk about on economics or whatever, like, I mean, say they've got Max Kaiser does a show on there, for example. And George Galloway's been on there, and they believe what they're saying, you know. So they're not pushing propaganda. There's other journalists who have come out since RT's been banned across the West and have said, you know, unequivocally that they've never been told what to say. They've always had that kind of freedom to say what they want, which is unlike Western media, who are always in unison saying the same things, the same talking points that they're obviously, you know, it's decided beforehand before they launch their propaganda campaign on whatever it is. But these guys have said that they've got the freedom to talk. And I think probably, as a rule of thumb, about 90% of what comes out of our media is lies and deceit and propaganda, and probably equally about 90% of what comes out of RT is actually truthful. It's, you know, at least it's well-meaning. In other words, we might not agree with everything in their position, but they're not deliberately trying to deceive people. It's what they believe, and they're being much more honest, you know. I actually think that watching RT, you're going to get a much more honest and accurate view of things than you will in our media, to put it mildly.
That's why they had to shut them down, of course.
Yeah, and you know, there's this war of getting shut down. I guess Facebook's getting shut down in Russia. The Russians are responding to their own media outlets getting shut down. You know, and responding to like the YouTube censorship of anything. Like, you know, I was watching Alexander Merikolis, whatever his name is, who does the Duran, and he was alluding to the Bucha incident or the Bucha propaganda coming out of Ukraine about you know, the Russians allegedly having executed a bunch of people in the streets and then just left them behind, and the where the Ukrainians, you know, they came in. Yeah, the Russians left on March 30th. The Ukrainian mayor on March 31st says he's back in control of the city. And then all of a sudden on April 3rd, they find these corpses lying around that somehow they had missed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the circumstances, knowing how aggressive the propaganda war is against you, I think if you did commit an atrocity like that, you'd probably go to some lengths to try and tidy
cover
it up and hide
it. Cover it up, yeah. I mean, they have body bags, right?
I'm sure they could have built some graves or threw them under a building somewhere where they couldn't be seen. I mean, if you wanted to hide bodies like that in a war zone, it wouldn't be that difficult. You go into a dangerous area, you drag all the bodies in, and you'd bury them below a pile of rubble, yeah. You know, and then you'd bomb the area.
I mean, the thing is, you're only looking at, on that video, there's only, like, a dozen at the most corpses. They've got body bags. They could just remove them from the area, completely remove them from the area. I mean, they got that capability.
Well, there's also footage of one of the bodies possibly moving can see in the wing mirror of a car after the cameras had apparently left. I think RT showed that, where you can see a body kind of moving after it's been lying there, you know?
Yeah, and there's another one that seems to be moving its hand. You know, and it's not 100% conclusive. And then there's also Scott Ritter's theory that, these are actually the corpses of people executed by the cartoon Nazis or the Hollywood Nazis, because they were accused of being collaborators with the Russian occupiers. So, you know, you've got all that. But what I was getting to with Alexander Merkolis, I believe is how he says his name, is he couldn't even mention the town. He said he wasn't going to discuss it any further. He says, my views on this I've already enunciated in a previous video. He didn't want to get his video banned by YouTube, so he was, you know, more or less self-censoring himself on this issue. And, yeah. You know, that's the level of censorship we have here. So, you know, Russia's... now it's like it's rather restrained in the tit for tat. You know, I don't believe it's expelled huge numbers of American or Western diplomats, although I suppose that might still come.
He's a better man than me, because the first thing I would have done was rounded up as many Western sources of propaganda at the very start of the war. I would have attacked that very aggressively. I think it's almost like they're going out of their way, maybe to the point of foolishness, to be, you know, to have that moral high ground. But if it was me, there would have been no CNN reporters or any of our Western media. They, as much as would have been possible, they would have been expelled from the country and got out of there, because they're poisonous, you know.
Mm. They are. Well, look, we're coming up on the break. I got something non-Ukraine to ask you on the other side, so we'll be right back.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smothered, enough to reap the corn and leaf where I was born. Got a stout before the banished ghost and goblets, a brand new pair of brogues to rot the love of the bogs and frighten all the dogs on the rocky road.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was new as impure, old Aaron's oil. They began abusing her army, so well says I, me shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by, and so I was a hobbling will below it. Hooray, the giant in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road. It's a double and one, two, three, four, five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road.
We're back, and a few days ago, I read in the media that Boris Johnson is pushing a new scheme whereby illegal immigrants, rather than being processed for refugee status within Great Britain, will be sent to Rwanda, the Central African nation of Rwanda, for processing. Have you heard of this, and what do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing new. This is kind of dog whistling, I think. Is that the term?
Dog whistling. You know, dog whistling, really, like when you're dog whistling, you're trying to tell your dog something.
Is that the term?
Well, yeah, there is a term. Dog whistling is supposedly where you're sending a message to your people. And I guess maybe it's a kind of dog whistling, but is it fake? I mean, is he's trying to send us signals, but actually they're he's not really even going to follow through on it or anything? Is he just trying to placate his anti-immigration supporters?
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that the tactic is when the outrage from the, particularly from the conservative base, reaches fever pitch, Priti Patel does this as well. They come out with these outrageous sort of ideas. Like they've done this with the Channel Crossings as well. Okay, we're going to send in the military. It's so over the top. They don't have to go to those extremes.
But they come out with these extremes knowing there's going to be pushback from, you know, more moderate people. But then at the same time, they can claim that they tried. And as I say, it's like a dog whistling exercise where they can appear to be tough on this and trying to, you know, to deal with it. But it's the same old thing. Pretty Patel, she talks tough. And eventually over time, people realize that's all she does. She just talks and that nothing ever happens. And, you know, when you look under the surface, what's really going on is there's more coming in. There's more people being housed and it's actually softer on them. I noticed a story yesterday, for example, or a couple of days ago, that we have now decided that all the Ukrainian refugees can stay and they can access the NHS. They can access benefits. I mean, this is the type of policies that the people voted to leave Brexit to get out of the EU, because we didn't want any more of this immigration and we didn't want to be dictated to about who we can have from the EU. So now, rather than these people can stay until the war's over, they're granted full permission. Now, a lot of these people, as you can see from some of the footage and other sources, you know, it's fairly multicultural there in Ukraine. And a lot of these other countries which are taking them are not going to be so kind and not so generous. And there's going to be, this is going to be a magnet. Some people who are going to be in Eastern Europe, you know, are going to decide, okay, let's leave Poland, let's leave Lithuania and head to the UK, including many African nationals and, you know, people who are, you know, apparently they've got citizenship in the UK, but there's a lot of Arabs, Indians and blacks there. Those types of people will probably head over here now. And our governments just unilaterally do these things. You know, there's never any vote on it. They just decide, oh, you can stay forever. These big demographic decisions are made by these governments. So they can just come here now, whoever, stay forever. They'll be treated like, you know, gods because of all the propaganda and given every, you know, benefit under the sun. So
do we need to retool the meme that, you know, Africans are fleeing the brutal civil war in Syria, and now Africans are fleeing the brutal Russian invasion of Ukraine?
Yeah, exactly. I saw someone did a video, and they had Ukraine, you know, considering the demographic anatomy of a lot of the people leaving there, they had Ukraine sort of placed in the northeast of Africa.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, you really don't want to have even a bunch of white Ukrainians, all of a sudden a massive number of white Ukrainians show up.
I mean, no, we don't.
We need white immigrants. Well, the thing is, these people are coming with an axe to grind. And you know, the immigrants, to a large extent, I mean, there are some who are pure economic migrants, but political immigrants, to a large extent, they become very active. They're activists, and they want to manipulate the politics of the new country for their own purposes. And, you know, you got the people who left, like for instance in America, people who left Cuba became this massive political lobby that, you know, I don't care if you like Fidel Castro or not, there was no reason for the United States to single out Cuba for all of these economic sanctions for the past 60 years. And it distorted our own foreign policy. You know, we had earlier, we had a Taiwan lobby, you know, of people who had left China originally and maybe by way of Taiwan came to the United States. And they had a massive influence on our policy towards China. And of course, the Jews. All these Jews who came over from when the Soviet Union was breaking up, or even before, because Gorbachev was led, you know, allowing for a lot of immigration. These people came over, and now they're Max Boot, and you know, now they are Julia Yoffe, and they're having you know, these people are the most activist people you can imagine. Anyway, we're at the break. We'll be right back. I'm a little bigger man, I'm bigger than a teen. I can teach Dora more than a little Lily Green. And I know I'm from the leafy, from the basement to the zoo.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Huh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we're back. So do we really want all these people here telling us what to do?
No, we don't. And we've got enough immigration here. We've got enough problems economically. We haven't even got enough housing for our own people. And we should understand that people will probably learn the hard way that those people who are housing Ukrainians, those people over there, I mean, Ukraine's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And those people have different moral standards from, what used to be Western values anyway, but still, people in the UK are pretty nice people and trying to help out. But, these people, as I say, it's a corrupt country and the citizenship will have a certain amount of that by osmosis. They have different standards, and I don't think they add anything to our population, particularly the Ukraine. But even the ex-communist countries in the Eastern Bloc have come over here. They have a certain crime mentality, and there's a certain hardness about them, which is alien to your average British citizen. And they compete for schools. They compete for an already overstretched NHS, dentists, and all these types of things. And again, this is a big reason why the UK decided to vote to leave the EU, because it further dilutes the identity of the country. And as I say, it's competition for cheap labor. It's competition for the NHS jobs, schools, all that type of stuff. So no, to my mind, they're not welcome. There was a poll done
at the start of all this, and it shows you what people actually think. And it was like something, you know, it was quite high. It was in the late 60% of people who said we shouldn't take any Ukrainian refugees. And that's despite all the propaganda. And it's the same type of people who support the Ukraine, that voted to stay in the EU, that wanted us to wear all the masks, to take all the vaccines, a virtue signal is the next thing. You know, they're always the same. And then you've got the other half of the population to push back against all this. But because this whole pro-Ukrainian thing has reached such fever pitch, there hasn't been any marches, you know, protesting against, say, against our involvement in supporting the Ukraine. But it's starting to happen because there are now protests in Europe against NATO sending weapons to Ukraine. Viktor Orban, who's recently won a landslide in Hungary, has said that he's happy to pay Putin in rubles and that he is refusing to join the chorus of condemnation against Russia. So you're starting to see this pushback happening in Europe, and particularly Germany and Italy and other places that are going to really suffer because of the relationship, the trading relationship with cheap oil and natural gas coming from Russia. It's okay, the politicians up there, you know, virtue signaling and being bullied around and bribed and intimidated by the United States, but the people have a very different view, because all things being equal, you know, even those people who care about the Ukrainians, they also care more about the, you know, being able to eat, because food prices are going up. Oil and natural gas is genuinely under threat, and they want to feed their families. So as much as you might care about the Ukrainians, you also care about yourself and your family more. So you're starting to see this pushback happening. And hopefully we'll see that here. But I think people have been so intimidated that to go out and do a protest against anything Ukrainian, you'd probably get stoned, or I don't know. I mean, it's quite a, you know, a precarious climate over here at the minute. But I think people need to get organized. And I'm sick and tired of, you know, if you type in, just type in Google, Zelensky demands. It's all over the place. Ukrainian President Zelensky demands military hardware from the West. Zelensky demands Russian exclusion from the UN. Ukraine Zelensky demands UN action against Russia. You know, who the hell, the elephant in the room is, who the hell is this guy? Mm-hmm. You know, why? What strategic interest do the United States or any of the Western countries have in NATO or have in the Ukraine? I mean, does anybody ask this? They're not a member of NATO. There is no legal obligation. There, you know, what duty do the Western nations have towards the Ukraine? But yet this guy's always demanding. He's appearing, you know, addressing our Congress. He's addressed the Oscars or one of those types of things.
He's always addressing all of the G7 parliaments, including Japan. And, of course, he also addressed Israel, which...
that backfired spectacularly.
Leave it to the Jews. He got a lot of pushback from the Israelis who didn't like his comparisons to the Holocaust because it pollutes the Holocaust, right? And besides, the Ukrainians were Holocausters.
Yeah, well, he should have known better, because as much as they, you know, they might want to be on board with Ukraine, they're not going to allow that to be diluted in any kind of way, the Holocaust message, you know. This is one of my complaints about Putin, actually, because he pushes this narrative quite a lot. But he does it in a way where he tries to get in on the act with that, to share the victim narrative with Russians. There's quite a complex relationship with that. I read an article by Andrew Joyce on the whole thing, and it was quite fascinating, because if you notice, you know, Putin does, you know, he's always condemning, you know, fascists, and he takes great credit for Russia saving Europe from the Nazis and stuff, and, you know, he completely ignores the fact that that Russia would have been defeated if not for the U.S., sending £5 billion worth or dollars worth of military gear, which allowed them to fight on and eventually defeat National Socialists. But apart from that, the Russians were done. I mean, was having a nervous breakdown before that happened. Stalin.
Well, you know, the thing is, we inherit our history, and You know, you can, there's certain things you can do with it. I mean, you can create false histories, you can, but, you have to, one way or another, you got to deal with your history. And if you're a national leader, how you deal with your history can impact all sorts of things. You know, it can impact your legitimacy as a ruler, but, I guess in Putin's case, the thing is, World War II happened on Russian soil to a large extent, or Soviet soil to an even larger extent, you know, Ukraine and Belarus. But it happened on Soviet soil, and pretty much all Russian families were impacted in a very large way. Because how many Soviets died during the war? Was it 15 million? Was it 20 million? It was a lot more than 6 million, right? And so it's part of their national ethos, national mythology, whatever, to a much greater extent than it would be, in America. I mean, in America, we had 300 something thousand fatalities, and it didn't take place on American soil, with the exception of maybe Oahu and a couple of Aleutian Islands. It didn't take place on any American soil. And so it's just the idea of reexamining World War II. If you're a Russian, Vladimir Zhirinovsky just died, and I don't know what he might have said, but he's not exactly fringe, because he could get, say, 15% in presidential elections, which is a lot better than fringe. But I don't know what he might have said, but it would be really, really hard to come out and say, well, actually, we were on the wrong side. I mean, it was hard enough. It was hard enough to say that the communism doesn't work. Actually, communism doesn't work when you're a communist party and your claim to power is based on ideology. It's based on, a revolution that was based on ideology. It led to the complete, the destruction of the Soviet state. Once the Soviet Communist Party started questioning communism, its own origins, the state fell apart. And to question something like, oh well, actually we might not have been on the right side. We lost 20 million people. What was it for? What were we defending? Well, I mean. So it's become the Great Patriotic War. That's what it's called, the Great Patriotic War. They were fighting on their soil, and they're not going to give the Germans any quarter. We can look at it maybe a little more objectively. And it's the same like with what could Putin do? What can he do regarding that? That's just kind of like a legacy he's inherited. He hasn't fully embraced Stalin, right? He's distanced himself from Stalin. But, how much can be done in a single generation? How much can be done in a single man's tenure, even if it's 22 years? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, yes, I do. He's sort of juggling things there, because he's aware that, a lot of the people who will support him or otherwise have a history there. They've had parents and grandparents who died under that system. Some of them may well have been very favorable to Stalin. I think, and I've heard someone else say this, that in an ideal world, I think Putin's more of a kind of a czarist kind of a guy. He would prefer, this is his view on the Ukraine as well. You know, given the choice, he would like to reabsorb the Ukraine back into Russia, but he understands that ship has sailed. And that's not one of his goals, despite our media constantly, without any basis, claiming that this is one of Putin's greatest goals. He's going to go in there and want to reclaim Poland and all the ex-communist countries and this type of stuff. One interesting thing is you can see in real time, this atrocity propaganda. And if anybody didn't question it before, they should have a look at the type of atrocities which are attributed to Germany in the Second World War. Because you're seeing all these atrocities coming thick and thin. you know, accused that Russia have been accused of. So they're more than capable of that, and they're more than capable of then establishing that in the historical records and pushing it through the mainstream, through, you know, even education and history and that type of thing. So it really does add weight to questioning some of the narratives around World War II as well, because as I say, you can see that this stuff is just completely made up. I mean, these books that are in our history section, they ought to really be in the fiction section, you know, and that's no hyperbole. These guys literally just make this stuff up. It has no basis in reality at all. And you see this, you know, highlighted with Butcher, and they want to keep it going. The Washington Post today said, for some in NATO, it's better for the Ukrainians to keep fighting and dying than to achieve a peace that comes too early. And I wonder how long Putin is going to tolerate this interference from the West, both in the propaganda war, but also they just keep sending more and more weapons in there, you know? And I wonder how long Putin, you know, will tolerate this before he retaliates in some kind of way. And this is the danger, you see, because this can escalate, you know? I'm still wondering whether they do want to escalate this.
Well, I mean, the idea has been to I'm convinced that the people who are really responsible for this, and by that I mean Victoria Nuland and the, you know, her Jewish comrades at the State Department and in the media and elsewhere. But I mean, she's the person who's really designing the policy. That the objective is to overthrow Vladimir Putin because and return Russia to an oligarchic system run by Jews. That's the objective here. That's why we're having this war. And you look at that, well, how's that working out for you? Well, the ruble is now actually stronger than it was when this all started. So the ruble had lost half of its value, but it's back now. I was just checking out the Moscow Stock Index, which was, I think, at 36,000 the day before the invasion. And then after a week or so, when trading was halted, it was down to about 20,000. So it had lost, you know, over 40% of its value. Trading started a week or two ago. It's started up and it's the stock market is, you know, it hasn't gone back to pre-war levels, but it's recovered at least a third of its losses, and it seems to be on an upward trend. Meanwhile, you know, the West, you've got the massive inflation, and houses, and also the complete deterioration of trust in so many of these Western systems. You know, you've got erosions in all sorts of Western systems. You've got erosions in the petrodollar, you've got erosions in, you know, faith in the dollar as a reserve currency. You've had American banks seizing Russian central bank holdings. You know, they're seizing Russian foreign currency reserves. Just all sorts of things. So faith in the institutions that were the bulwark of, you know, the Western economic system has eroded, and countries like, you know, not just China, but India and Pakistan and countries all over the place are looking for alternatives and finding alternatives. So,
yeah,
Lee, I mean,
our economies are, yeah.
Yeah. I think this idea of using the war in order to isolate Vladimir Putin and isolate Russia through economic sanctions, it looks to me like it's going to backfire, which shouldn't be a surprise. But that's how it looks to me.
It is backfiring. You know, you've even had Joe Biden, and for a politician to state this, it's probably going to be even worse. But, you know, when you get a politician saying that there's going to be food shortages, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Russia, you know, produces so much fertilizers that if those prices go through the roof, then, well, you're not going to be producing food, or if Russia refuses to send those fertilizers. So there's all sorts of things. I mean, Western economies are incredibly fragile. And it's very tempting to think that this is just another attack on the West, like COVID was economically. You know, they say they're attacking Russia and they're trying to drum up this moral support for it. But when you look at actually who's really suffering and who's going to really pay the price for this, it's the white Western European countries. And I think that there's a battle on for the heart of Europe at the minute. And if Europe revolts and realizes that this even politically is foolish, that those politicians who want to stay in power in Europe, that they're going to need the support of people to be politicians, then they might have to offload the United States. And eventually what you're going to see is the United States, far from, you know, expanding their hegemony, if Europe was to, even half of Europe was to align with Russia and China, and then you have almost a situation where, you know, and you've got India as well, which is refusing to condemn Russia. You're going to end up with the United States quite isolated.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the last break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So we're back. You know, you were saying just before the break that the United States could wind up finding itself very isolated, and of course, what we're seeing is the profiles, the importance of certain other countries, is is really coming to the fore. And, you know, none more so than China. China's emerged as, you know, as possibly the most important country in the world. It really does seem to be on the verge of eclipsing the position of the United States as a result of this. As a result of this, maybe it would have happened sooner or later. But then India, you know, somebody could have gotten along very well for the past few decades without giving a thought to India. At least somebody in America could have. I mean, there's a lot of Indian immigrants everywhere. But all of a sudden now India is a big deal. And, if India is signing trade agreements or currency agreements with Russia, that's a big deal. And so we're headed right into a multipolar world, which is coming at the expense of the Zio American Republic, or it's not really even a republic, the Zio American Empire, which is something I'm not going to fret about.
No, me either. I mean, it's a very strange situation because there is a strong argument that they're, you know, they're cutting their own throat, and they're really accelerating the, you know, this move away from the U.S. dollar, the world reserve currency. And it's very strange just how much they're investing in this situation in the Ukraine, because China is a much bigger threat than Russia. But I guess they see it if they can get to Russia first, and if they can, you know, actually exercise regime change there, and they can, you know, weaken Russia sufficiently that they can then isolate China. I guess it is difficult to understand really exactly what they're doing, because when you look at it, it seems to me that they're only cutting their own throat, and this is going to backfire if they want to maintain their hegemony. You know, it's quite fascinating, really, but it could just be a simple case of hubris and aggression. You see this in, you know, even the Roman Empire. You know, there's a lot of hubris there. It actually got very multicultural. You know, the whole thing just disintegrates and declines. And, you know, empires, they do rise and fall. As a Christian, I don't believe God's on the side of the West anymore. It's run by Jews. It's run by the same people who crucified Jesus Christ. And Westerners have embraced a lot of stuff which is far from Christian. They've embraced a lot of this homosexuality. They've embraced abortion. And as I say, I believe that there is a hidden hand behind history, and that God is ultimately ruling things. And he won't tolerate that stuff forever. And one of the judgments that can come down on a nation is starvation. And you look at how this is all shaken out, you know, food shortages. And then what? You've got all these different peoples in the United States and the West. In that sort of crisis, people are going to look around and say, hey, hold on a minute, who are you? I mean, where do you come from? And why are we feeding you? We're short of food here. You're not an American, you know? So you can have that sort of breakdown. You know, when people get hungry, it creates a lot of volatility, you know?
Sure does.
And it's already volatile. I mean, there is very little political and social cohesion already in the Western countries. I mean, we're at each other's throats, whether it's over Brexit, whether it's over COVID. And now the Ukrainian thing. I mean, if you were to add,
and we're coaxed to be at the white people's throats, but that's
of course
the subject of a whole nother discussion. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly.
cows, too.
Ezoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.